Our buddy Bart Heights returns this year as a breakdown analyst, basketball know-it-all, former guard there at Mississippi State, played on a Final Four team. The dude does know his X's and O's. I got to give him credit. And he joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Bart, how are you?
How in the world are you gentlemen doing?
We're doing great.
I'm great.
We're doing great. We're talking about the reports from one Dominic Yates, I believe, with a TV station up in the state of Kentucky, thinking that Bruce Pearl, or saying that Bruce Pearl, wants that job badly. That's what he is being told. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's go to last night, though, Bart. You know, I never really gave a whole lot of credence to this Georgia basketball team being able to, well, I don't know. I didn't think they would go winless in the SEC. But I darn sure didn't think that it would happen last night against Alabama. When you look at this Alabama team, the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of this year, what are you seeing as the biggest problem for Nate Oates' squad in 2022?
Well, the biggest problem is there's two big holes in the middle of that perimeter and or interior with Petty and Herb. I mean, those guys could guard four or five positions, and that cures a lot of evils in help defense. But, you know, you heard him after the game. The effort has steadily declined. I think he actually noticed the defensive problems. If you go all the way back to at Missouri when they got down 9-0, he started that game zone. And, you know, Nate Oates is not a zone-type guy, so he saw it coming. But it's the energy, lack of length on the perimeter. And, you know, last year it's easy to keep making shots when you know you can get stops. And they're having a hard time getting stops. It's gradually gotten worse, and they're not protecting the rim. They're not getting a lot of easy baskets. Their guys are creating their own shot either offensively. But as far as Georgia, I mean, shoot, Tom Crane just went and got him a little bit of that Dwayne Wade juice up in Marquette. You know, he went and got inducted in the Hall of Fame, and, you know, in my opinion, he's made a pretty good career off of one great season. Everything else hasn't been that awesome, you know, wherever he's been, but Georgia's been close. They've been playing well. They just had bad stretches where they couldn't get stops or they couldn't score. And, you know, a lot of people have said they were going to put 40 minutes together. And last night they did at home, and they caught Alabama at the right time. And tough loss for the Tide. They're reeling right now, and they got to turn something around.
Now, again, we know that Herb Jones and John Petty's not part of the basketball team this year. But outside of the defensive area, does it shock you that this team is shooting as poorly as it is from the perimeter?
It does in some senses, Pat. You know, that's kind of streaky. They don't really have a lot of things is how they're being scouted. You know, I mean, they don't shoot in between jump shots. So you can just run at shooters and force them in to help. You know, and a lot of these big these teams are big, and they're switching defenses. You know, teams like an LSU, teams like a Kentucky at times. But when you're constantly running people off the line that are not going to shot fake and go one dribble and pop it because that's not what they do, you know, it's a lot easier to stop folks. And what happens is, especially when your guards are smaller and the release point is not as high, you have to shoot from further out. I can attest to that. When you're shorter and you got 6'5", 6'6", guarding you, you're going to have to figure out a way to get open. And a lot of times that means you have to go back further, Pat, and those open shots are contested at 30 feet instead of 24.
Former Mississippi State guard Bart Heights joining us here on Three-Man Front, Jocks 94.5 on the Bud Light Hotline. All right, so for Alabama fans listening, you got plenty of games left on your schedule. You have some impressive wins that are helping with your net rankings due to the non-conference and a couple of nice wins in conference play, Bart. But when you look at the rest of the schedule, you've been on those type of teams where you got the talent, just sometimes the gelling, the cohesion isn't there. How fixable is this for Nate Oates, just given what you've seen from the eye test?
They've got to get back to one possession at a time mattering. And that's what energy and that's what effort does, is that there's no accountability or real leadership that I'm seeing from anyone, you know, from a player standpoint. I'm not talking about coaches. And that's something that Nate kind of walked into when he got there. He had established leaders. Somebody in that locker room, probably Shackelford, you know, I don't think a lot of these guys, I don't know their personalities, seem like quiet guys that, you know, might not get into somebody, you know, as good as Herb or Petty did. And also, you know, a lot of these kids are not Alabama kids that are up in the program now. And so, you know, I don't know if it was just Everybody leaned on that leadership. But one possession at a time is something they've got to get back to. But they can't play the style of way, the way they want to play Landrum unless they can get stops. You know, I might go to some sort of half court, you know, just slow down like Buzz did, you know, limit teams and let teams just have to 14, 15 seconds, you know, run their offense and see if somehow we can't get a stop and get out in transition. That's where they're their best. And, you know, here's the thing about a lot of teams, Landrum, in the SEC this year. If you don't score it in early offense or secondary offense or get easy buckets, these teams are long and hard to guard, are hard to score in the half court. Alabama's got to get stops. They've got to get out and score more in early offense.
All right, Bart, so Auburn goes on the road as the number one team in America. They go into Como. It's a tough place to get to. It's a tough place to play, especially when the building's half empty. And you do not play your best basketball game. But the good news is you get back on the bus, heading back to Auburn with a win, a Southeastern Conference road win. How big was that to have a little adversity on this basketball team but still be able to get a big victory?
Well, I think one main thing is, you know, if you have never been to Como and seen that place, it's phenomenal. A good buddy of mine went out there years ago and caught the Kansas-Missouri game before they came into the SEC, and I was just astonished at, like, that amazing arena, the facilities. And it was more full last night, Pat, than it has been, still not probably 100% capacity. But I think to get on that plane and just look in the rearview mirror and say, we're done with this place, it's way too cold here, and we should have gotten beat, actually got away with a walk on that last bucket to before Missouri made the three that didn't hurt them. But Auburn won, and that's what you got to do in this league. There's not a team in this league that can't beat you at their place, and that was proven last night. Quanzo Martin's a genius defensively, and the way they guarded the ball screens, forcing Auburn's point guards left, not letting them pull up, because Brown is such a key factor. That guy's a pro, 24, Missouri, because he can do so many things. You saw him handle the ball offensively, make some shots. But defensively, he's like one of those guys that can guard three or four positions, had enough length to keep those guards from pulling up or shooting the floater, but also could get back to Kessler and the guys coming for the lob. And they made Auburn's guards finish going left over people. What you're going to see Bruce start doing, those guys are going to come off and probably stop and pop a little bit more at that 15-foot, because that's what kept happening, is Auburn's guards over-penetrated. But, Pat, I mean, look where they are. I mean, if I'm an Auburn fan right now, I'm glad I'm home. I'm getting ready for this weekend. OU's coming in. Bad matchup for OU, in my opinion. You know, new coach, Loyola Chicago, they'll be ready to play. But I expect Auburn to be glad they're getting home and to get back in the gym and just pick up right where they left off before they left.
All right, so, Bart, when you look back to the 2018-2019 season for Bruce Pearl, what an unbelievable run, barely losing to Virginia there in the Final Four in Minneapolis. When you look at that team, the makeup of it, this team, what are the differences in Auburn 2022 and that Final Four team from a few years ago?
I think there's some trade-offs. I don't think that you got the just immense shot-making ability that you had from that Auburn team. That Auburn team could get in games, run teams out of the gym, get back at whatever they needed to do just with all their shot-making. This team is longer. This team actually might be a little bit better defensively, which, you know, in an NCAA tournament, it's always going to be about two things: getting stops and making shots. This team's got a little bit more length. I think they have a little bit more versatility. I think they have, I think at the time, Okiki was trending to becoming the best player in the nation before that last game. But Jabari is the best player in the nation. And last night was the game plan. Every time he would start to make his move to pull up, they would run a double at him. And he just hasn't seen that kind of stuff. And until you go through it as a scorer, as a star, you're not going to necessarily be comfortable. Going back to Pat's point about, you know, this was a good thing for Auburn. But as far as, like, trying to compare them, I mean, you don't know what the matchups are going to be. You don't know who they're going to play. Like, if Purdue was a two seed and they were to catch a Purdue, you know, Purdue's a bad matchup for them with, you know, those two bigs inside that can pound you. Teams like that. So, you know, comparisons, yeah, man, there's some comparisons. They do a lot of the same things. The ball screen action is great. I think they actually are a little bit, they just can't shoot it as well as that team, but they make it up in other ways. And based on the bracket, man, this team could go as far as anybody.
Let me ask you about a report. A television reporter out of Kentucky, Landrum mentioned it briefly when you first came on, in regards to him mentioning both Nate Oates and Bruce Pearl potentially for the opening at Louisville that will become official at 3 o'clock this afternoon. He went as far as to say that Bruce Pearl, sorry, I'm laughing because every time I think about this, it makes me giggle, is he's basically saying that Bruce Pearl wants this job badly, talking about leaving Auburn and going to Louisville, Kentucky, at a program that has had all sorts of NCAA problems, on-the-court problems, just you name it. It has been a disaster up there. Why in the world would Bruce Pearl even remotely think about going north?
Pat, you're going to have to give me one good reason. I mean, you know, he's perfect at Auburn. The people love him. He's got the recruiting rolling. The only argument would be is if he had some underlying want to coach in the ACC. Now, if the coaching in the ACC, whoever it is, whether it's Bruce or whoever, if that's a goal for you to get into the ACC and coach in that league, right now is the time because it hasn't been this down probably in our lifetimes, Landrum, or maybe any of us. So like, I just don't understand, unless that's wishful thinking, why Bruce, for that matter, or Will Wade would leave unless there's sanctions coming on both those programs that none of us know about that someone somehow does. I do not think Louisville is with what Bruce has proven and what those fans are doing, traveling like Kentucky fans do, selling out other teams' arenas. I mean, I don't know that you can't say that right now. You know, Bruce would argue that Auburn is the top job in the country, and I think everybody would agree that he would argue that. I don't necessarily think it's the truth, but when you've got it rolling and you've got it set and he's owning Atlanta, Georgia, the hottest recruiting pool in the country, especially in the Southeast, arguably, I mean, there's no reason for him to leave, Pat. I don't see it.
All right. I've got a couple more questions for you. Right now, and I know who you were high on last year because we talked a lot. Watching college basketball, who's the best team in the country right now?
Right now, I think there's about five of them, but I think you got to say Auburn. You know, just keep winning, like you said last night. If anybody watched UCLA guard last night and what they did to Arizona, you better start putting UCLA back in that conversation, guys. Don't forget about them, what they did last year. But Baylor, I think Baylor, Auburn, UCLA, and Purdue are the four teams right now that I think are better than anybody in the country, night in, night out, you know, with like a hint of a Texas Tech, Houston, and Kentucky right behind those.
How about the SEC? Who's the number two team in the SEC? Because I think all of us agree that it's Auburn at number one. But who's number two? Is it Kentucky? Is it Texas A&M?
I think it's according to who's healthy, Pat. I think Kentucky, right? I mean, Kentucky and what he's done, that team's older. You know, they're not the same flash, pizzazz as you've seen from these cat teams with all these one-and-dones and the recruits coming in. But, like, this team is older. They've got transfers, and they will guard you. When Ty Washington is healthy, they're special. But, see, nobody's talking about LSU anymore, and that's because, like, Xavier Pinson is that valuable to them. When he comes back, I think Kentucky and LSU are right under that tier. And then Buzz is just going to be Buzz, man. It's going to be hard to beat him, and they're consistently week to week getting better through his process. So right now, yeah, I'd say those are your four best teams with Auburn being up at the top.
All right, would you agree with me, or I'll just ask you this?
Probably not, but go ahead.
Well, all right, I do control the phone here.
I got it.
Who is the most disappointing team in the SEC to you so far? I go Florida.
I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think we realized that their guards couldn't score it. We didn't really know. At Tennessee, to me, guys, you know, I haven't been up on them the last couple of years, and everybody was high on them. So they're not necessarily a disappointment. They're about kind of, I guess, what I thought. Arkansas is the team you got to keep your eye on, though. Big, big game this weekend, you know, tournament-wise between them and West Virginia coming up Saturday. Obviously, they got a game tonight. That's a big bubble game. Arkansas was reeling, and that LSU win got them going. They've won four in a row. They were the most disappointing team, but now I think they're starting to come on. So, but, yeah, man, I got to agree with you. I got to think it's Florida.
All right, Bart, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, as always. Your expertise is very appreciated.
Absolutely, my friend. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Bart Heitsch, former guard, Mississippi State, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.